Hi. Yep, I'm here.
This is Eldon Ham. Eldon, one of my oldest friends. Eldon was the first guest that we had on this radio program some six weeks ago. And if we last, Eldon, that'll make you a trivia answer someday.
Yeah, there you go.
Eldon's an old friend of mine. My new friend is his daughter, Carla Ham, and I think we have her on the other line. Carla?
Yes, I am here.
Hi, hello. How are you?
Hi, good. How are you?
It's great. I know you guys are you're not always sometimes in the same room, but never on this show.
And not lately during these times either.
Is that right? Really, you haven't seen each other too much, huh? Yeah, but you're both in Chicago. This is Eldon and Carla Ham, two attorneys, good friends of mine. And I thought we would take a second today and really what is a beautiful sunny day here in Chicago, and talk about Twitter and some of the things that have happened. Very briefly, if you completely missed any of the news, and it's really hard to, and this isn't only about what's happening in Minneapolis, it's kind of what's been happening in general with the flow of information. A really horrible thing happened in Minneapolis. On the heels of that, there have been some unrest up there. On the heels of that, the President of the United States said, and I quote, "When the looting starts, the shooting starts." Two things about that. President Orangehair can't even make up his own stuff. That's a quote from many years ago from kind of a lockdown guy up there that said that. Anyway, Twitter came out and said that this incites violence. And we talked about that just the other day. Twitter has guidelines that I didn't even know about, and we're going to talk about that a little bit. So let's take it from the top. Eldon, what about this? And you guys talk to each other, okay? I'm going to turn my mic off. Eldon and Carla Ham. Do either of you have a Twitter account, by the way? Let me start there.
I actually do.
Yeah.
It gets used a little bit. I'm not really sophisticated with it, but I know enough to retweet a few things and say enough to get myself in trouble. So, I have a little familiarity with it.
Carla, how about you?
No, I think I have one up there, but I've really never taken to it.
Yeah.
That's
two generations answering the same question.
Yeah, and it took me a while to get used to it and to discover it and decide how to use it and so on. And,
yeah.
And it's okay. It's a nice tool.
Yeah.
I see it every day. I use it every day. I'm not a Twitter maven by any stretch. But
how many people do you follow? Do you know offhand?
I don't, but it's not a giant number. It's not like thousands. It's more like, maybe 100.
Really? I could add 3 or 4 during the break. I'll give you our...
And I find it to be not only generational, but also geographical in a certain respect, too. I know a lot of people in the Midwest use Facebook. Still, I know the old fogies over in my generation.
You don't have an AOL address you're going to pop out of here.
That I got rid of, I can say.
No, your point's well taken. This whole thing with social media, I think it really depends on how old you are, where you live, kind of what your friends do. I mean, the rest of it. Good point about Facebook. But, the reason I wanted to seize on Twitter, people would say that Obama was the first Internet president. And I think there's a case to be made for that. President Orangehair really corrupted the idea of that, I think, and used Twitter in a way that has just, misused it. So let's go back to the Twitter guidelines here. I'm going to put my hand on something here. I'm guessing that you two can explain this a little more quickly than I can. But basically, Twitter. Who knew? I thought that's my area. I thought you could say anything on Twitter and get by with it. Apparently not. What about that?
Well, there are things you can't do. Like copyright violation. You can't steal somebody's novel or story or song and just reprint it, over social media. So there are limitations that are so obvious that we don't think about them. You can't solicit murder on Twitter.
Although
I think our president's getting close to that.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, really, no joke. The other thing, I wasn't aware that. I really did not know that there were Twitter guidelines that I guess what I'm asking, if he violated something yesterday, what happened 2 years ago? You know what I mean? I'm trying to figure out where the line was crossed. Carla, you have any take on
that? Absolutely. Well, the whole you know, Twitter is a private company, so they are able to make their own rules. And the whole argument that Twitter is violating the First Amendment is actually not true, because Twitter is a private company, and the only people that can violate the First Amendment is actually the government.
And that, again, I'm restating, that's what the administration is charging in this bizarre, loopy thing. Yeah.
It's not, you know, private companies, with some exceptions, there's always some exceptions to the law, but private companies can make their own rules as to what they accept and what they don't accept. And anyways, even if they could violate the First Amendment, they're not, because they still left the post up there. They just put a warrant, is the way that I see it.
Let me, again, let's pretend people are listening that have no idea what Twitter does, and no reason why you should. To start with, the idea that we would have a fact-checking disclaimer, which is what they're slapping on his tweets now as of yesterday, I think, that's new. That I never heard of that before, and we're seeing that. I always wondered why they didn't do that before. You know, to say this is, I don't know, just a grass thing. I don't know if either of you know what, what's the name of this thing now? It used to be called Barber's Wooden Spoon, but anyway, they're a fact-checking website, and basically they rate it, yes, for sure it's true, no, for sure it's not true, and we don't know. But no one's ever categorized that before on Twitter. And, yeah, what about that? We just thought you could lie. I'm not trying to embroider. We thought you could lie at will, and maybe not. Did this turn of events surprise you coming from Twitter, either of you?
I was surprised by it.
How come?
Because I know I don't really, I don't really follow on Twitter, but I hadn't. I think it should have happened a long time ago. I don't know what the answer is in terms of regulating lies, as you call it, you know, or what, but I feel like it's a step in the right direction. I was surprised that it took so long. I wasn't surprised that it happened. I was surprised, like you said, that it took so long.
Hi, Eldon, you, sir?
Well, one thing that Twitter might be considering, or at least they did consider before making this move, is that maybe they tried to stay out of the fray. The law that's on the front pages now is the thing that gives the Twitters of the world, social media, just the platforms, immunity from being sued for what other people say just on the platform. So it's almost like you run a bulletin board, right? And somebody posts, they tack little things on the bulletin board. You're not really liable for what somebody puts up on the bulletin board in the park someplace.
And we're talking about retweets to a large extent,
so what,
right? Which we all do on Twitter. Right, go ahead.
Sure, we retweet and we also put things up there on our own.
Yeah.
Twitter has tried to stay out of that, but they've gotten into the fray now. And I think one of the reasons they tried to stay out of it is if they have immunity and they're just a bystander and they sit there and they watch what other people post, for the most part, they don't have a problem. But I think when they start becoming an arbiter of the facts and verifying that things are true or not true or whatever, now they're starting to taint their role a little bit. So I think that's why they stayed out of it for so long. But it became so egregious and insane and dangerous that they finally had to jump in when the president starts tweeting, as he has, rage tweets of crazy facts and accusations about murderers and all the rest of it, that they decided to invoke a rule that probably they had before, but they're being a little more diligent. Then I think it escalated. So then Trump got upset and doubled down. So then Twitter got upset and they doubled down with this whole thing about the violence. And so now we find ourselves where we are. The crazy part is that the new executive order that the president signed essentially is, I think, a shakedown.
Yeah.
Because it's really just a threat to Twitter.
Thank you. It is a shakedown for everybody that does what we do. Not you and me, but me. Yeah, for sure it's a shakedown.
Go
ahead.
So it's a shakedown order, because what's crazy about it is the object of what would happen if this order really went through and meant anything is the exact opposite of what the president says that he wants. Because if they are immune for what is said on the platform, then that promotes free speech.
Sure.
Twitter will let everything up there, almost everything.
Sure.
And even what the president has been saying, they left it there. They just put their own version of an asterisk on it. So if they take away that immunity, then now Twitter has to be more diligent in monitoring everything. They have to kick people off. They have to take down tweets. They might actually have to take down what the president says.
Yeah. This guy, would you want him as a client? He's a nut. I mean,
no lawyer ever has.
No, he can't even
listen to any of them, and he doesn't pay any of them.
I know. And the check's in the mail, by the way, you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'll love you in the morning.
we're paying you in Bitcoin. Carlos said it was okay. 25 after the hour, it's the Pandemic Pirate Radio Show for a Friday, the last one of the month of May. This is Eldon Ham and Carla Ham, both attorneys. And, I want to tell both of you, this is... I was looking around this morning. I may whip this out at the end of the. I have a kind of a collection of old television show themes. If you look through at the lawyer shows, you know, Perry Mason and L.A. Law and Judd for the defense. I don't even remember that one. I think Judd lost some cases. I think his clients are mostly in the joint now. But I was looking through this, and I used to say that I learned most of what I know about the American legal system from watching Judge Wapner on the People's Court. And you know, I only say that half in jest because I think people who are not attorneys, people get a lot of what they think or know about law from stuff like that. Plus, Judge Wapner I always felt he was a fair, you know, a fair jurist. So, yeah. So, anyway, both of you guys, what's it like to be a real lawyer in a time when people don't exactly know what lawyers do or even why we need them? Carla?
Well, they know why they need them after they get themselves in trouble.
Yeah.
Ideally, they would come to us before they get in trouble, but that usually never happens. It just happens after there's a big old mess.
Mm-hmm.
Or somebody is telling them that they need to get a lawyer.
Right. So, I mean, that's another thing that, again, I don't want to have this whole thing about President Orange here, but one of the things that's really happened here is that this country is, you guys are the guys with the legal degrees, but my kids long ago asked me what the Constitution was, and I said, it's the rules of the country. You know, like when you play baseball, it's three strikes and you're out. These are the rules for the country, and it's not a lot more complicated than that. But this guy came in and has everybody thinking that it's in pencil, or we don't have to do this or that.
Right.
That's a big deal, and it's a problem. And I think that it leads us now to the reason I, you know, find myself to some extent doing this on the radio again, to tell folks, you know, we didn't just stop being America a few years ago, and the things that are happening are, I think they're just an ongoing assault to telling the truth. So let me shut up for a second. Let me throw out a question, and then I'll maybe you'll yield some stuff. Something on that. I was trying to explain yesterday that when I was a baby broadcaster, my understanding of libel and slander was pretty basic. Slander was something that a person would say. You know, Joe is just a son, blah, 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 right? That's slander. If it was in print, that was libel. But I also explained that my understanding was that people who are public figures, not only do you have to get it wrong to libel them, you have to know you're getting it wrong, which my point is it's really hard to sustain a libel case. You guys know that. But I want to come back to the whole notion of what do you get in trouble at all for lying legally? What about that? How many lies do you have to tell? And take it out of the political arena if you want. How many lies do you have to tell? How often do you have to get caught? Carla, what about it?
The key is that it has to show harm. I mean, it is pretty hard to prove, especially if it is a public figure. But correct me if I'm wrong, Dad, but for just a regular person, it's a lower standard, right? It just has to be negligence in stating the lie.
Yeah, again, I think you had it right on your first response, which was there has to be harm someplace. There's a... if you get libeled or slandered, defamation in general is kind of the umbrella action. It's not worth much if there's really no harm in it. If somebody says that you're that you have red hair and it's really only slightly red hair. Who cares? What's the difference? Even if you're kind of lying about it. But if it actually harms somebody's reputation, harms their business, harms their family, there's actual demonstrable harm, then you get into this defamation world, which, by the way, always has exceptions just like everything else. There are certain lies that are so bad that you don't have to prove actual damages.
Give me an example.
Well, one of them used to be going to your job, having to your profession, libeling your profession.
Right.
One of them used to be, probably still is, although it would be sort of ironic now, but sexual orientation.
Mm-hmm.
There used to be 5 or 6 of them. Most probably are still on the books someplace as recognized. It's called slander or libel per se. So if it's per se, it just means it's bad. You assume there's damage, and you can file a lawsuit. All the rest of it, you got to show that it caused some damage. And then you got into the public figure realm. If somebody's a public figure and they have access to the media themselves, so if the president says something bad about Robert De Niro or Joe Scarborough, as he did recently,
right,
it's presumed that Joe Scarborough can defend himself because he has access to the media too.
I'm gonna jump in there. People don't know Joe Scarborough is a former congressman. He's a host on MSNBC with a thing called Morning Joe. He was accused of murder. Basically, he was accused of murder in a tweet a couple of days ago. That's what Eldon's references.
You can overcome that if there's actual malice.
Yeah.
In other words, getting it wrong is one thing, but
yeah,
getting it wrong intentionally, which you could argue the president has been doing,
right,
might give Mr. Scarborough a nice cause of action one of these days if he chooses to bring it. And then you have another level, too, public official. Public figure is just a famous guy with access to the media.
Okay.
Public official, is actually somebody in office. So you can say some pretty nasty things about your senator or your president or your vice president. And it's essentially immune, really. I can't think of one egregious enough where it might be actionable, but I'm sure there's an exception.
I was gonna jump in on that one because, you know, back to this whole notion of damages. I don't know. I'm trying to think of a kind of a common example. Let's say that I were in the business of making widgets, and you got on the on the street with a bullhorn or on a Twitter account or said, you know, this guy's widgets, they're just no effing good. Don't buy this man's widgets, right? Then my widget business collapses. At that point, that's a real thing, right? That I can, what is that, defamation of character or something? I don't know, whatever it is. That's what you're talking about, where money comes out of my pocket because of something that someone says.
Yeah, sure. Somebody creates a program, a pattern, an attack, all lies. You suffer harm. Somebody, let's say, plants something about your character or about whether you committed a certain heinous act,
mm-hmm,
and you lose your job,
okay,
as a result of it, and it's a lie. And so you file a lawsuit, and those are the kinds of things that the defamation laws are there.
And that math there, Eldon, is specifically. So if I'm making, I don't know, I'll give myself a razor. I'm gonna make 50 grand a year, right? When they defame me and I get blown out, if I lose the next year or two or three of income, is that the sum of money that goes on the table when you file a suit?
Well, in terms of your actual out-of-pocket damage, yeah, that is the kind of thing you're talking about. But then you can also get punitive damages as well. So depending on what a jury thinks about it, it could be escalated.
Right.
But as we talk about this, it occurs to me that I guess you would call it ironic, but I think there's a stronger word that's probably better. Given that we have a president who brands himself as a wartime president, I can't help but remember the old adage, right? First casualty of war is truth.
Mm-hmm.
So he's sticking to the script, you might say.
Mm-hmm. A minute ago, I didn't want to interrupt you too, but I was listening to you off the air, and you were consulting. That first question I asked you were consulting each other, and you know, that was an illuminating moment, because lawyers do converse, and there is a difference of opinion. And 99% of the lawyers I know are, you know, they want to do the right thing. And part of what's happened is that the waters of what is not even what's true, it's sometimes what is law, has gotten stirred up here. So,
right, and sure. It's ever-changing, too. I mean, the whole executive order that we were talking about and libel, whether or not Twitter can be held liable for libel, all of that is always changing. He's trying to change the law right now by saying that they should be opened up for liability. So with the Joe Scarborough example, right now Twitter isn't considered the speaker of the conspiracy theory that Trump spread out there. Therefore, someone like Joe or someone else can't sue Twitter for libel. But if this executive order goes through, then it opens up Twitter for liability for things like that. So the law is always, always changing, you know, and it helps to talk to other lawyers. It definitely helps to talk to my dad. I don't think many lawyers can call their colleague dad. But, yes, it's always changing, so you really have to stay on top of it.
You know, it's, wow. I go back again, not to criticize this man who's currently holding the office. I don't exactly get it, because if this executive order, which may or may not have, you know, have legs in law, but if it goes through, he's going to screw himself.
Right.
I mean, that's am I missing this? I mean, that's what's going to happen here.
Because it's going to chill speech. If Twitter is now held liable for all the things that people say, all the disparaging remarks that somebody says to cause harm, like we were talking about, can you even imagine? I mean, the number of tweets that he has said, it opens up, you know, the cost that it would take for Twitter to fact check everything and cover their butts could even shut them down. I mean, it could shut down all social media platforms.
Absolutely.
So then where would he be? And the irony is that he's using this very platform that he's so against to say his point of view. And what would happen? It would be shut down. He wouldn't have that outlet anymore.
I know, and that's what is odd about this whole situation is that to start with, you know, it isn't like nobody knew what Twitter was before Trump started tweeting, but I will credit him with calling some attention to that particular platform. I think that's fair. But this larger sense of, you know, I don't know, that the truth is whatever you can get people to believe it is for 5 minutes, that's a new era here. And you know, I'm a lot older than everybody, including you two, but I will tell you, in the beginning of me being on the radio, boy, it was a responsibility. You didn't get to get on and just say anything. It's not even obscenity. You know, the idea that you would do something that was dishonest or illegal or unethical or blah, 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 all kinds of ways that you could get in trouble. But now,
or irony,
or
occurs to me, Gary, that the president likes to use Abraham Lincoln as a prop whenever he gets a chance.
Yeah.
But he probably has no clue one of Lincoln's more famous musings was about fooling all the people all the time, you know, and all of that.
Yeah.
You know, you can fool some of the people all the time, all the people some of the time. You just can't fool all of them all the time.
Right.
And that's the fire that the president is playing with right now. He because he fooled a segment of the population all the time, he's now starting to get the idea he can fool everybody about anything all the time.
And that's why we have you on this morning. I got into trouble. Well, guys, hang on a second. I'm going to take a quick break. We'll come back and destroy more of your morning here. I got into trouble. Some Republican candidate was quoting Lincoln where I was, and I said, you know, if Lincoln had heard that, he'd go to Ford's Theater and shoot himself in the head. Let's take a quick break here. We'll come back and we'll talk more about how to save America. Should we?
Coronavirus is an illness that can make people have a high temperature and a cough. What happens if I get the coronavirus? Most people who get coronavirus can stay at home to get better. Rest, healthy food, and sleep will help. Children and healthy adults are very good at fighting germs like coronavirus, but some people will have to go to the hospital. The doctors and nurses will do everything they can to try and get those people better.
What can I do to help?
You can wash your hands with soap and warm water before eating food, after sneezing or blowing your nose, and after using the bathroom. You should catch your coughs and sneezes in your arm or a tissue. And you need to stay at home if you or anyone in your house is feeling poorly.
Why is my school closing?
To try and keep people healthy, your school is going to close for a while. You will stay at home and do your work there.
I feel a bit worried and sad. I'm going to miss school and miss seeing my friends.
It's okay to feel worried. Things will feel different for a while. But the grown-ups in our lives are there to look after us. Their job is to help us feel safe. We must remember that we can talk to them about any worries we have.
We could do a lot worse than having the kids run things. Huh? Stack that against anything that President Orange here has said about the virus, and I think they win. It is 20 before the hour here. It's the Pandemic Pirate Radio Show for a Friday, which a lot of people are sort of, are we ready to party or are we still locked down? That's something that we're dealing with on not only, anywhere. And I'm sitting here right here. Chicago is one thing. Illinois is another thing, et cetera. So we're just going to do our thing. I would say in one thing that we could look forward to, I think next week we're going to be able to talk to a fellow that I'm very interested in chatting with. His name is Chuck Schirock. He is the founder of Sweetwater, which is an ultimately cool company that has musical equipment and some of the equipment that we use here in the radio, and just a neat guy who is an entrepreneur with a big E. We're going to talk about maybe how to make some money out of nothing. So, and let's take a second. I want to thank our two guests here and maybe get a couple more seconds with them. Eldon Ham and Carla Ham. I don't want to call you the father daughter attorneys. It makes you guys sound like you're a track peas high wire act. You know, we bring them.
But that's great. We'll go for that. I'm okay with that. We're entertainment attorneys anyway.
Yeah, that is true.
A lot of law. Area is vaudeville, so
yeah.
I think it fits.
Yeah, there you go.
How about that? I mean, so seriously, I know, I know why you said that, but you know, the show somewhere. And look, I'm not knocking showbiz, okay? But somewhere showmanship and whatever the other and judicial process, they got confused here. Does that mortify you too or not? I mean, you're an Eldon. I've seen Eldon in action, and Carla, I can't wait for you to get up in court and, you know, hit somebody over the head for me. But I can see that both of you are good at that, you know, that you're good at that. But, that's not the whole thing of the. That's not the whole legal process. So,
I'm disturbed by the theatrics of it when it overcomes the truth. The reality, though, is if you sit through a few trials, they're generally kind of boring, very deliberate, and are really pretty good at shaking the truth out of a situation. So the really over-the-top theatrical stuff is interesting for TV. It doesn't happen as much as it seems. So I'm not horrified by it, but I think it could be better.
And that's why we have TV shows, right? Because basically it's the real try with all the real stuff edited out.
Yeah, most of the defendants in those shows don't have attorneys, so that they can really, you know, grill them when they throw them in the back room at the police department and really grill them. Most people would ask for an attorney, but then, you know, where would the drama be?
Hey, real quick, any major change in the questions that you two have been asked, or the people that come to you, or the crimes that people may or may not have been accused of in the last 6 weeks? Think about that for a second. I'll give you a moment. I'm just wondering, everybody that does any kind of job, their job has changed in the last 2 months here. And I'm wondering if that is true for
well, yeah, big time with the music industry, because people aren't touring anymore.
Right.
So what are they doing? Are they sitting at home, maybe creating the whole live streaming shows has become really big. It's been very hard for very many people, especially the musicians that solely depend on their touring.
We had my new friend Drum speak on yesterday, exactly what you're talking about, who's creating from his basement, you know, so different.
It does lead to some innovation, you know. There are things that come from it that you wouldn't expect, different collaborations. Maybe they reach a different audience that they wouldn't have reached before.
And Eldon, you as a sports attorney and a sports agent to some extent, we have a new feature. There's No Sports with Microphone Jones, which is our new program. but I mean, there's not a lot of sports here. I noticed that Michael Jordan, his career has come back. There's something about his sneaker impact today. But anyway, what about it? I'm concerned. There's some people that I know, particularly one of my relatives is a young athlete who's going to miss at least a year here. What about it? Are you getting people calling you up to just going berserk, or are they optimistic at all? Other people in the sports world, how about it?
I wouldn't say optimistic it would be a handle, but it's so different, and the stars are treated so much differently than the regular guys. So you have, years ago we used to represent a lot of minor league baseball players, because the minor leaguers are the ones that became the major leaguers.
The news headline is minor league baseball is in trouble right now.
Right.
This morning, yeah. Go ahead.
Exactly. And they basically just fired all those guys.
Yeah, yeah.
It says you're done.
Yeah.
And maybe they'll put the pieces back together later, but they were all just kind of hung out to dry, and they didn't make any money to start with.
Yeah.
A few of them would get a big signing bonus, you know, the really top guys, numbers in six and maybe even seven figures as a signing bonus, but a lot of guys just play for a few $100 a month and a new glove that their agent gets for them.
And that's the game. Eldon, I talked to some of these folks that were, you know, some of whom perhaps were represented by you and I. Anyway, I remember one veteran, and I said, what happened? He said, money ruined everything. Money changed the game. People don't want to play for fun anymore. So I was just referencing this place, Sweetwater. Sweetwater's in Fort Wayne, Indiana, the home of the Fort Wayne Tin Caps. And, you know, that's I have nothing. You got to love minor league baseball. So, yeah, they're in trouble there. You know what? Thanks a million. I asked for 5 minutes, and we've been on since. Actually, it's now Monday already. So thank you for slipping.
It's always a pleasure.
Another weekend down the drain.
This is Eldon Ham, H-A-M, and Carla Ham, C-A-R-L-A-H-A-M. We will endeavor to get this interview posted. We're going to put it on the website. It's bleat.network. So if you missed part of it, you can go back and, you know, make your notes, and we'll give you an opportunity to review that. I think you can find. I'll put some sort of a. I'll put your website or some way that you can be contacted. I'll ask Barks to do that. Okay. If you have a Twitter handle, we will then have a disclaimer that says that anything that we'll assume. We'll assume you guys are.
We'll assume full responsibility. Good for you. You're a heck of a guy.
Thank you so much for doing this today.